more of Like Effect, I'm Mitch Teich. For anyone who knows even a little American history, the last name Booth will almost immediately bring to mind the man who killed Abraham Lincoln. But before, and well after, John Wilkes Booth fired that fateful shot, his family was known as America's theatrical royalty. Father Junius Brutus Booth began the dynasty, and long before there were movie matinee idols, Brother Edwin Booth was one. Edwin was also one of the greatest actors of his, or maybe any, generation. And it's on Edwin that Milwaukee actress and playwright Angela Iannone has focused her attention. Iannone just finished the third in a trilogy of plays about various real-life points in Booth's life and career. Called Irving and Booth in Othello, it finds Booth working in London in the early 1880s. The play will have a staged reading next week with Iannone herself playing English actress Ellen Terry and Simon Provan playing Edwin Booth. The two came to the studio to talk with Lake Effect's Bonnie North, and they started with a scene from the play.
And while you two gentlemen might have a loathing of rehearsals, I like to know what is expected of me. Like you, Mr. Booth, I have spent my life on the stage, and I have a high enough opinion of my art to know it is impossible to entirely upset me. It is, however, entirely possible to puzzle me. I prefer not to rely on spontaneity. Won't you allow me to rehearse with you?
It will not be an inconvenience?
It will not. There is a sadness in you, Mr. Booth. Mr. Stoker defined it as haunted.
Did he?
I find the word apt.
I am a call-bearer, Miss Terry.
I am not familiar with the term.
At my birth, I hope I will not offend.
I have two children, Mr. Booth. I am aware both of how they are made and how they are born.
At my birth, the membrane covered my head. It is said those born are so gifted.
In what way gifted?
Gifted to see ghosts.
Do you?
I am surrounded, night and day.
And is this a gift?
Sometimes. It depends on who visits. My father has been here today. He is not pleased with my lack of industry. Do you not come your tardy son to chide that lapsed in time and purpose? Let's go by the important acting of your dread command.
What command was that, Mr. Booth?
Ah, he, my father, gave me a sacred trust to continue his legacy.
What did he say?
Papa was never much of a talker, not off stage, not with me. He was asked once when I was with him, and I was always with him. He was asked to which of his sons he planned to pass his mantle.
Sons? I wasn't aware. I know, of course, of your younger...
Please, don't.
Oh, no.
Papa spoke of the three of us. My older brother, Junius, is also an actor of a sort. He might have been better or been happier if Papa had not been great. But my father was a great actor. And when Papa was asked, to which of your sons do you pass your... Which of your sons will inherit your... He placed his hand upon my head. He had to reach up to do so. I was 14. I had made my acting debut as Tressel in Richard III only a few weeks before, and Papa was playing Richard. So you see, not in so many words, but it was enough for me.
This visitation is but to whet thy almost blunted purpose.
Yes, but better than that.
Oh.
Angela Iannone and Simon Provan, welcome to Lake Effect.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So who did we just hear? Obviously Edwin Booth. And
Miss Ellen Terry.
This scene.
Yes.
And this is the third of your plays, and we'll get to the whole trilogy
yes.
about this. But what did we just witness?
This is the third play in the Edwin Booth trilogy, and this one is called Irving and Booth in Othello. And it revolves around a very famous production of Othello that was done in London with Sir Henry Irving and Edwin Booth trading off the roles of Iago and Othello weekly. It was a 3-week run, and they traded off the roles between themselves. And Ellen Terry played Desdemona to both of them. And Edwin Booth was famous for hating to rehearse. He absolutely loathed it. And in this particular scene, Ellen comes upon him rehearsing by himself the Act 5 scene where Othello kills Desdemona, and she asks if she can rehearse with him. Henry Irving also didn't care to rehearse, although he would rehearse everybody else in the show, and then he would turn to Ellen and say, "Oh, you and I will be all right." So she's desperately trying to, "Will someone please tell me what it is you expect me to do?" I mean, she had been born and raised on the stage and was very familiar with how to do stuff, but as she says, it's like, really, I would prefer to know what it is we're supposed to be doing together. So she convinces Edwin Booth, who hates to rehearse with her in this scene. But they're talking about Edwin's father, Junius Brutus Booth, who was a very famous actor in America. And Edwin was sort of the crown prince of theatrical royalty.
And, of course, he had the infamous brother,
yes.
John Wilkes.
Yes.
Yes. And whose name Edwin never mentioned from the time of the assassination on. He did not allow his brother's name to be mentioned in his presence, and he didn't mention it either. So there's all sort of dancing around. Well, everyone knows about your brother, and he would.
That's it.
That's
no,
it.
Don't,
that's
don't
all.
Talk.
No, we're not going to say anymore.
And of course, John Wilkes, you know, it's you talk about ghosts in this scene. Mm-hmm. You know, he's of course one of the ghosts, and he
yes.
was, from what I understand, a brilliant actor.
He was a brilliant actor at melodrama, which was the predominant form of the time. But he didn't have the talent that Edwin had. He wasn't a Shakespearean. He wasn't a tragedian. But he was a very dashing, good-looking.
Charismatic.
Fellow. Charming
well,
young man.
Well, and Simon, for you, playing such a famous, wonderful actor as Edwin Booth, I mean, this must be a little bit daunting.
It is. It is. You know, when Angela first contacted me about it, I was driving, but I was literally like hopping up and down in my seat. I was very excited to do this. I had the privilege of seeing the first one at UW Whitewater. So it was not only daunting of fulfilling the role of Edwin, but having seen a great production and Jake Lesh. You know, he was absolutely marvelous when I saw him. So there was also that as well. But, you know, with all roles, try to find ways that you can link into the role from your own personal life. And I've found ways to do that. The biggest help, though, has just been all the research that Angela has given to me. I know that Edwin was probably the best Hamlet that America has ever had.
Oh, there's no probably. Yeah.
Right.
even counting the difference in stage technique and acting technique?
Ah, well, here you come to it. Edwin was the first naturalistic actor and a huge proponent of the quote-unquote new natural style. When you read accounts of what he did, his stage business, his inflections, he was an absolute innovator and incredibly contemporary and naturalistic. Long before we ever needed the Russians to come over here and tell us how to act naturally, Edwin Booth was doing it. And one of the things that we did in the first play was recreate his performance of Hamlet, because we have eyewitness accounts. We have actually two of them, of different people who came and saw it time and time and time again and wrote down what he did. And when you look at it, when you bring it to life, it's absolutely contemporary. Because here is the thing. A great actor is always a great actor. You cannot lie to an audience. If he weren't great, we wouldn't still be talking about him. And the things that he did, absolutely brilliant, fearless innovations in how to play Hamlet. I don't think there's a contemporary actor working today who would have the guts to do what Edwin did with his Hamlet.
Like what? Can you give me
the
example?
Ophelia burial scene, which is usually staged to focus on the Hamlet. He's downstage and he's in some place where he's lit so that they can see Hamlet grieving. Oh my gosh, it's Ophelia's body? Oh, I'm sad. Edwin did the entirety of that scene with the Horatio standing in front of him, and the only thing that was visible was his hand over Horatio's shoulder. So that when he discovers that it's Ophelia, all you could see was him clench his hand. and then release it as he begins to grieve. And then he would slide down out of sight behind Horatio, who has his back to the audience. So the only thing that the audience could see was his hand working. Edwin was the first person in America to dim the lights in the auditorium so that the focus would be on the stage. He was the first person, the first actor ever to sit down during the to be or not to be speech. Because
really?
It made perfect sense to him. It's natural. The man is thinking. He's contemplating suicide. He's contemplating death. Why would you walk downstage center and stand there? It seemed perfectly natural for him to come into the room and sit. And that's, of course, that famous picture of him seated with his hand on his head.
Yes.
And that's why there are pictures of it, because it was such an amazing innovation, but perfectly natural.
So we would recognize him on stage today. I mean,
if
he were to show
we
up.
We wouldn't blink.
We wouldn't think, oh, this is kind of anachronistic or something.
No.
Interesting.
No. And there is a recording of his voice. There are actually several of them, but two of them are they're on wax cylinders. Edison recorded them himself. And they're too degraded to touch. But there is a section of him speaking a speech from Othello that is available online and very easy to find. And it is the most contemporary, natural thing you've ever heard.
I was shocked when Angela sent me the link and I opened it up and This is not what I've been taught in theater history, and it's not what I've been teaching in theater history.
Right.
And that's part of it is, I'm so excited that Angela's doing this. The more I found out about it and find out about Edwin Booth, the more I want to bring this to my students and really get all actors to understand.
This is our heritage.
Exactly.
We don't have to look to the British. And I don't mean that in a bad way. We don't have to look to the British to teach us anything about how to do Shakespeare. You know, we don't have to look to them for our idols in terms of acting. And we don't have to look to the Russians to say, oh, we need to teach you about naturalistic acting technique. We were doing this long ago. And Edwin was absolutely on the forefront of that.
Now, at the time that this play that you've written is set, which is 1881 in London, had that standard been accepted in America? Had his standard, or was it later that really came
in? No, he was the thing.
He was the thing at that point.
He was it.
Yeah.
So what was he taking to London?
I'll let
you know,
that.
And
well, that's the interesting thing. They didn't like him in Shakespeare.
Because he was too
He
natural.
Had a whole repertory of play, and he did his Hamlet. He did his Iago. He did his Othello. He did his Richard III. He did his Shylock, which they kind of liked. They liked him better in the two melodrama plays that were part of his repertory, The Fool's Revenge, which we know as the story from the opera Rigoletto about the hunchback, and Richelieu, which actually had been written for an English actor, William Charles Macready. And Henry Irving had played it by the time Edwin was there doing it himself. But they actually liked him better in the two melodramas than they did in the Shakespeare, although they did say that he spoke beautiful, beautiful verse, and he did. He was an incredible verse speaker. You know, Henry Irving had kind of put his stamp on everything by that time, and it was the first time Edwin faced a rival because he never had a real rival in his career. No one was ever as good as Edwin.
So that's why you've said it here.
Yes.
So we mentioned earlier this is the third in your Edwin Booth trilogy.
Yes.
So what prompted you to write plays about this and not just do research and not just do something scholarly?
Mm-hmm. Well, the flip answer is also the most true. I fell in love with Edwin Booth. I looked at this picture of him sitting in the Hamlet chair, and I fell in love. And then I said, I have to know who this man with the eyes is and with this amazing face. And the more research that I did, the angrier I got that he's been under the shadow of his brother for so long. And that American actors have no appreciation of what it was that he was doing. I really felt like he is American history. The 19th century was an astonishing time, and Edwin Booth was right in the middle of all of it. His father and he were friends of presidents. He was American theatrical royalty. He was an innovator in both acting technique and stage technique. I fell in love with Edwin Booth is the simple answer.
And one thing I want to say from everything that I've been reading, I don't think Edwin ever decided, hey, I'm going to do this, like consciously decided I'm going to do this naturally. I don't think he could do it any other way. He's known for playing Hamlet. Hamlet is haunted by his father. Edwin is haunted in his life. Mm-hmm. This was the only way he could do it.
Playwright and actress Angela Iannone and actor Simon Provan spoke with Bonnie North about the third play in Iannone's Edwin Booth trilogy called Irving and Booth in Othello, produced by Milwaukee's Goats and Monkeys. It will have two stage readings at the 10th Street Theater in Milwaukee next week, Monday and Tuesday at 7:30. Admission is free at wuwm.com/lakeeffect. You can hear the wax cylinder recording of Edwin Booth performing a scene from Othello. One last break, and then the story of a remarkable collection of work by Marc Chagall, which happens to be housed in Milwaukee. That's in just a moment as Lake Effect continues on WUWM.